Let's get to our guest. He is the editor-in-chief of Ducks Illustrated, a man who wears many a hat. We welcome in Jerry Thompson. JT, how's it going?
Great, Steve.
So, I know you're from around here, but
yeah.
did I get you clear? You went to some kind of reunion in Nashville?
Yes. Let's tie that in with Ugo Chuko Amadi. Ugo Amadi, who was from Nashville.
Okay, you went to his reunion?
No. He played there. But no, I went to a graduate school in Virginia Beach and Regent University, but the reunion was in Nashville because there's a lot of people from Ohio, Florida, all areas, and the person hosting it was from Nashville, so it made it easier for a lot of people.
Wow, what a great place to spend some time. No complaints there. Let's get to some Oregon sports. You know, with all the factors, be it Texas A&M backing out, and we know this is a cupcake non-conference schedule, is there any logic to, with all the factors, a new coach, a program trying to get back to where it had been, you know, prominent in the division, the conference, nationally, with a real big opener in league against Stanford, maybe kind of a silver lining that even though it's a weak non-conference schedule, man, a lot of time to tune up for the Cardinal?
Well, yes, it's working out well. I mean, Texas A&M, I don't remember what they did last week. What did they do?
Texas A&M, they won big, but they played nobody.
Well, I think it would have been good to have played. It used to be, I was looking at the schedules over the history, and it used to be a patsy and then a kind of a medium-level team like Nevada. I mean, no offense to Nevada. And then... And then, you know, a fairly tough opponent, Big Ten or Big 12 or somebody, you know. So that's, to me, ideal, kind of a light, medium, heavy. But for this team, I will agree with you that they really need to get a backup quarterback. That's one of my little part of the article I wrote, 0-0, is about the elephant in the room. To me, there's no backup quarterback that's solidified at all. I'd like to see Tyler Shuck this week and see what can happen because, you know, I mean, just because you have a patch, some easy cupcakes, as you call them, doesn't mean a guy can't get hurt.
That's
true. They're all big and pretty fast at this level. And so that's, to me, the team looks good except for, you know, we don't know who the backup is. And you need two backups, as I've pointed out many times. The last season losses to Ohio State, TCU, and in 15 and in 16 Oregon State, all those losses were against teams with third-string quarterbacks. So you just don't need one backup. You need two who can come in and lead the team. I hope that Braxton Burmeister and Tyler Shuck will get a lot of playing time the next 2 weeks, and we should be good to go for Stanford.
By the way, you mentioned you wanted to know about Texas A&M. It was 59-7 over Northwestern State. I would say the level of difficulty upgrades a bit. They play Clemson this week.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have Clemson in game two.
No question about it. I agree with you. They need an answer at backup because ever since the second half of the Alamo Bowl, it's been a disaster. To talk about, you mentioned Ugo Amadi. He is kind of the vet of a secondary that looks to be really talented, have some depth, but not a lot of experience. And he had a heck of a debut with a pick six and a sack.
Yeah, he's had a lot of interceptions in his career and big plays. One of our questions we ask is, what is your favorite play, since personal highlight, since you've been a Duck? And fortunately, we had the photos of his top highlight was stripping Darren Carrington last year when Carrington was at Utah, and not only stripping him, but picking up the ball and running for a touchdown. And he also sealed the deal against Nebraska last season with an interception when they came back. And so Ugo is a big play man. He's a leader on the team. As he says, he brings energy and experience and tries to help the younger guys, which there are a lot of them in the secondary. And he's played both cornerback and safety, so he knows how to help them, you know, maybe get a leap a little bit forward from where he came in.
Oh, and before we move on again with the season-opening magazine, Ducks Illustrated, where can folks go to pick up a copy?
Well, they're free of charge at the Dairy Marts, Buy Marts, and your U of O Duck stores.
All right, I want to get to another senior spotlight, Todd Griffin. Interestingly enough, the series he got in, you heard Roxy Bernstein and Anthony Heron talk about his explosive nature, and after a four-yard run, he caught that screen, and you know, maybe there might be a Pac-12 defensive back who can catch him, but against the likes of a Bowling Green, he gets ahead of the field. He gone. Bye-bye. Obviously the talent, the speed, but you got to talk to him. What were some of your impressions?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you caught that we had a defensive player from Tennessee and an offensive player from Georgia, so we kind of went south there. So, I think the interesting thing about Ugo and Todd, to answer your question, They came in and made a huge impact their freshman years. And they kind of had a little bit of ups and downs sophomore, junior years, a little more for Taj, injury, fighting injuries and everything. But now they're both set ready to, you know, make most of their senior year. So Taj, you know, he's, I think, between the lines, a little frustrated because he came in and did so well his freshman year, but struggled a little bit sophomore, junior years because of injuries. So he's, I think, very motivated to finish with a bang here, and he certainly showed what he can do in the first game, so we hope to see a lot more of that. His big play, by the way, was against Stanford, was what he considered his favorite highlight. It was a 49-yard touchdown, kind of similar to the one last week. He took a pass from Vernon Adams, and Oregon basically upset Stanford on the farm when Stanford was rated number 7, so... and also, just like Ugo at home against Nebraska, when Griffin's Dodge was at Nebraska, he had a big 50-yard touchdown. So anyway, he's that's basically what I can say is he's very motivated to really do well this last season after a little bit of a roller coaster.
Now, and finally, you know, you mentioned recruiting and those guys playing as freshmen. Man, this past weekend, game one, between Penei Sewell and some of these guys, and I know the redshirt rule kind of allows for more guys to get out there, but man, the impact of the true freshman this quick, you know, it happens elsewhere, maybe it's happened here, but it's rare. That was pretty unique to see.
Yeah, and Penei Sewell, he was, of course, really basically the highest regarded recruit of this the 2018 class. It's good to see him in there. I mean, you know, may the best man win. Remember, the juniors now, most of them started as freshmen or as redshirt freshmen. And so, you know, it's the competition is fierce. But anyway, you know, it's led depth is what they're not going to play the five starters 95% of the time like they did last year, which is good also, I think. So, you know, there's a few that would not have got in if it wouldn't been for the red shirt rule, of course.
Sure. No, I think Cristobal, at Media Day, Coach Cristobal made that clear when he said that the five linemen played 96% of the snaps. It wasn't with his voice inflection going up. It was kind of like, yeah, that ain't going to happen anymore. All right. So we're off. We're running. It's Ducks Illustrated. You've got Jalen Redd's catch on 4th and 14 in the first quarter on the cover. One more time, where could the folks get the magazine?
Yeah, a little shout out to Scott Kelly for that photo. Great photo.
Really is.
Yeah, at Dairy Marts, Buy Marts, free of charge, and U of O Duck stores.
All right. Always a pleasure, JT. We'll be talking all season long.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.